89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and welcome to this week's Know Your Foe episode. An old friend joins us from the Browns, Jake Burns. Jake, how you doing?
Ken, I'm great, man. Always good to catch up, you know, and especially around the holidays. So I hope you and yours are doing well the turn of the year here, and to your listeners as well, getting ready for the playoffs over there in Baltimore.
Yeah, we're excited about that. And obviously the Ravens fans waiting for the other shoe to drop after last year. And now Aaron Schatz is out there saying this team is only one step below the 2023 team in terms of the best teams ever in DVOA. Which is really something. So I'm interested to hear that take. He's coming on the show right after this, actually. So we'll have fun with that. But if you would, Jake, talk us through some of the recent stuff of the Browns. A lot of it has been contractual, and that's kind of what I want to start with the restructure beginning of this of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, so I think after the Denver game on the road there on Monday Night Football, it was like they were 3-8. You could get to 4-8. You still had everybody in the division remaining and a couple key AFC teams, the Chiefs, the Dolphins. You could convince yourselves that you get to 4-8 there, you can run it out to 9 wins, right? Like, so you thought about that as a pipe dream, and they lose that game, and it has obviously snowballed ever since. And I think the franchise shifted. I'm sure you would agree with me, Ken, that the tanking doesn't happen on the field. It happens in the front offices and the coaches' mm-hmm. staff, that they make decisions that enable the least amount of winning value to hit the field. So they have pushed in that direction. Things have pushed well of late for them to get the highest pick possible. I will give them credit. It's a little paradoxical to want your team to lose. It's a hard thing to sit there and be good at understanding, you know, especially for us people who grade film. It's like, I want these guys to lose, but I want them to play well. So it's a bit of a difficult thing at times, but they have done well, not winning games that mean nothing, right? It's always hard to be like lose, but I'm telling the fans of this team, like, because the Browns haven't been to this depth of losing since 2017. It's been a little while, which is outside of the norm for them. They've had some 7-8, 7-10 and 8-9s that have come up right recently, but in between the playoff runs, but nothing quite like this. So, you know, hey, I'm telling you right now, this week 17 win over Miami would mean nothing to you come February. Just, you don't want it. You want the highest pick for the most opportunity possible. And things have worked out recently. The Raiders have decided to win some games. The Giants pulled a massive upset. So they're up to third in the current standing for draft pick. There is a route to number one. if both Tennessee playing what we perceive to be mostly Texans backups and whatever the Patriots end up doing against, I think the Bills will sit mostly everybody as well. So there will be opportunity potentially to get the number one pick or slide up to number two, but at minimum three, because as I told you the other day, there should be no fear on Baltimore's side of the Browns' intentions of winning this football game. So that's like where we're showing the most attention.
Extremely well-timed for the Browns to get back to the number one draft pick after 3 years of not owning it.
Exactly. That's something that I've tried to illuminate to people, that this season obviously has been really bad, but imagine if this season happened last year. Ken, I think we talked through this. Maybe the Browns didn't. I don't know if we played you guys as late in the year, but the Browns dealt with an unbelievable amount of injuries last year. Mm-hmm. So this type of season from people connected to Cleveland's front office is a little more of what they expected last year, where they ultimately like lost so many people. They thought that the season could go off the rails. It happened this year because I think there's a myriad of reasons in another hour-long podcast for why it has happened, but this is something that was a little more expected last year because there was a built-in understanding that was very front-facing. I think a lot of what's going on with the Browns is under the radar, that just you got to be in this to understand it. But where I'm getting at with this is like, yeah, it would have been awful to have had that happen last year and Houston gets your third overall or second overall pick instead. But yeah, the silver lining here now, there's a conversation to be had about the quality of said draft class that you're getting the top three pick in, but nonetheless, it is nice to have your pick and a chance at elite talent or a chance to trade into a situation where you recoup some of the things you have lost over the last 3 years in terms of getting that young contract controlled talent into your organization. So yeah, there's a lot of that going on too, but like you illuminated earlier, the Deshaun Watson restructure is at the front of this, and really, Ken, I'll keep it very short on that. Everything the Browns are doing around Watson, when they restructured it and kicked the can down the road the first two times in 22 and 23, you just got to keep doing it. The cap number keeps going up. Mm-hmm. So every time you push it back, you're taking a credit card with no interest on it. Essentially, what you're doing is alleviating the burdens that hit down the road. And what they're doing is the cap goes up. The value of the dollar that is on that contract in 23 and 24 is worth less than what it is in 26 and 27. And yes, they are going to have an albatross season or two that is going to hit them. They're going to owe them $50 million to the cap, and they're going to owe them another year, $38, $39 million to the cap. It's going to hit. It's a matter of what post-June 1 cut they want to do, whether this year or the next. But yeah, I mean, it's going to hit, but it's not as bad. Let's put it this way. $50 million in 2025 is not as bad as $50 million in 2027, where, based on where the cap is going. So it stinks. You can't say it's a positive, but they are doing what I would say. What they're doing is they have put themselves into a disaster and they're trying to make the best out of the disaster. And they're doing right by how they spread those cap hits out, because, you know, as we all know, those cap hits accelerate and then you got to find a way to put them spread out over 2 years. So they'll navigate that. I have full faith they'll navigate that as best they can. But then the sort of situation we're in as they decide who's here long term is, are you able to accept the mistake that was made there and, you know, give those guys the opportunity to pick another quarterback in the same realm? That's where we're at, Ken.
So you're talking about the players, and maybe we move on to the big second one, which is Myles Garrett, of course. Recently came out with some specific demands that there be a plan to play winning football. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, somebody like Miles, who's pushing toward 30, 28, 29, 30, and recently last week, Joel Bitonio, in the same world of like, hey, man, I'm close to retirement, I need to understand what the plan is. These guys want to compete. And if the Browns' intentions were to tear it down and look to rebuild who they're going to be for a couple seasons, they don't want to be a part of that. None of them should want to be a part of that, Ken. I mean, Denzel Ward is pushing into his late 20s, and these guys have limited finite amount of time in the NFL, and they want to win. And they don't want to toil in a place that isn't geared toward doing everything they can to win. The good, I guess, it's tough to frame it that way, but the good thing is that they're so committed to so many guys, Ken, that they really can't tank. They have no way to reasonably tank. They cannot sell an immense amount of assets because the Watson contract has put them into such a precocious spot that they cannot spend their time trying to unload stuff for a couple of years. So they're going to have a way of doing things again that maneuvers the cap to put them in a position to spend more dollars this offseason. They'll commit to it, but it's just a matter of what do they do at quarterback? I think that's what everybody wants to know. Are they going to go after a veteran of the Kirk Cousins mold? Are they going to pursue somebody in a trade? There are some options out there, like a Malik Willis, who had a little resurgence this year in Green Bay. There are names to entertain, but they want to understand what the goal is with that and how the organization is moving forward with that position. They can say whatever they want about it. They have smart people around them, the players do, that can explain to them why the Browns will not be able to tank. They want to know what's going on with quarterback. And if they don't get a clear answer about that, I think that's where you get a lot of guys who will not believe, right? So that's where they're at.
Is there a chance for a double where they go for a top three quarterback talent, maybe even Cam Ward, and then also get a Kirk Cousins, say, to come in on a discounted contract for a couple of years? I don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to sign for, but he's definitely damaged goods at this point.
Yeah, I would think that there's a chance for that, Ken. It's a matter of how well, you know this, how well they grade out Shador and Cam Ward and what they like or don't like. And the big question that we're answering on our side is, have they painted themselves into such a corner that you have to take a quarterback? Where it's like, you've done a lot. There's a lot of good on this roster that can win ball games. It's proven. Mm-hmm. But you look at the teams who microwaved their offseason. The Steelers are one of them. The Commanders are another. These teams who found an answer at quarterback. And it's kind of like you either walk into one, like Russell Wilson was a, you know, and I don't know how long Russ is going to be there for Pittsburgh, how long it's going to keep working out. But again, it's a no risk minimum contract. So you're looking at like Kirk saying, can he give you a year on a minimum contract, collect his money still from the Falcons? That's possible, right? You know, kind of Minnesota, I'm sure you'd agree with me, Ken, is the same situation. Sure, they took JJ and Sam Darnold was an afterthought, but you know, you also understand that they took swings. Like the Browns need to hit a Hail Mary. There's just no way around it. They need to hit a Hail Mary at that position, whether it's drafting one of those two young quarterbacks that appear to be at the top of the board, or they go get Kirk for a year, or God forbid Aaron Rodgers for a year, whoever, like those guys playing well for a season. They need that Hail Mary scenario to work out. Like that's it. Because what they have done is not solved the quarterback position at all. And when you get into this spot with the cap tie-ins the way they are, and that credit card will come due. There will be a time that the Browns will have to pay off all of the things that they've pushed forward. The thought would be that they're truly rebuilding at that point, and eating cap dollars at that point won't matter as much because you are rebuilding and you can take a couple of years to push the brakes, which is what the Saints are going to be doing soon. And you know, some of those teams who do that, but like the Browns are, here's the crux of it is, have they put themselves in such a dangerous spot that in a year that doesn't have Jaden Daniels and Drake May and Caleb Williams and all the above, that you have to take a quarterback because you've put yourself in such a dangerous spot that you need to take a swing? That's the biggest conversation point, right? When you don't have the Watson albatross, you have more flexibility to be patient, wait another year or two, but we'll see. I'm not totally sure what route they go there. I haven't really dug into those guys enough. I'm too busy during the year to sit down and watch a ton of film on them, but I just know that decision around this thing, and it's just such the Browns luck, you know, couldn't you be bad a year where Joe Burrow was sitting there? You know, it's all about, I say this all the time, and I'm sure you'd align with me, Ken. It's not when you're bad. It's not just being bad, it's when you're bad. The Bengals found the right year to be bad, right? The Colts with Andrew Luck found the right year. There are a lot of examples of this. The Browns have not found the right year to be bad, and this is just not a great year with a clear-cut answer. Not to say that Cam or Shador can't be really good. It's just not a great year with a clear-cut answer for this situation. So it is going to be highly debated, and you know, it's going to alter the course of whatever they do here, because if they get it wrong, you're going to talk about a new collective group leading this thing if they get it wrong.
Now, Baker Mayfield, obviously a lot of people wanted him out of Cleveland, and I know you, I don't remember exactly whether you were real high on getting rid of him or trying to give him another chance and whatnot. Obviously things have worked out for him in Tampa. He's more than one team removed from the Browns, right? Didn't he play for somebody in between, Carolina or something?
Yeah, they originally traded him to Carolina, who went so poorly with him in Carolina that they let him go midseason. He goes out to LA and finishes the year there. And yeah, so it's a very true, the Mayfield thing lingers because he's having a nice resurgence, but there's some tricky elements to the how and why of that.
Okay. All right. Nick Chubb, I mean, obviously a fan favorite, great running back. Is there a future there? Is there another contract to be signed? Or is there a vet min contract at this point for Nick Chubb?
Yeah, it comes down to interest from the rest of the league. I don't think Nick put anything on tape to make people feel good about like where he's at in his current situation. I mean, I think Nick has some good football left in him. I don't know if he's quite as twitchy and explosive as he once was. I think there's probably another one-year deal in Cleveland because I don't think the Browns want to be forced into drafting a running back in a spot they're maybe not comfortable. I do think there's an alignment there at that, but I think there could still be some league-wide interest in Nick because of reputation and being a year away. But I thought, Ken, to be honest, I thought that that was more possible before the ankle break that happened. So then you get another leg injury that hits on top of the knee restructure. It's like there's a lot there. So I think you're probably looking at a vet min deal if he goes somewhere else. And if it's in Cleveland, he maybe gets another little kick because of the respect. Like, he is a legend around here. So there's some of that. But I do find a thought that he'll be in Cleveland another year on a cheaper deal.
Okay. All right. Maybe take us through the current injury situation for the Browns. Obviously, we're interested for the coming game primarily.
Yeah, so they're in a spot where not like David Njoku's going to get an answer in the next 24 hours. I don't think he's going to play. He didn't play last week. I think that one's dicey. They're going to play probably both Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Bailey Zappe. I can tell you right now, Ken, it is gross offensive football right now. I don't think the Browns intend on doing the things necessary for these quarterbacks to win. And I think that when you moved Jameis out of the starting lineup, as rough as Jameis has been at times, you made a declaration of we are trying to actively lose football games. So those two will both probably play. They picked up Bailey Zappe mid-year as some injuries hit, and he's kind of been around. Haven't seen him on the field yet. Cedric Tillman was ruled out. He won't play. He was put on IR, young receiver they like a lot.
Wow.
Jerome Ford, he's dealt with a concussion, Ken, that's lingered. I mean, these concussions, people think it's 2 weeks and they're back. No, man, some of these things are dangerous, man, and it's lingered for him, so he's gonna miss the rest of the, I mean, it's one game, so he's out. He hasn't played in a little while, so that's been a bit of a bummer because midseason he really caught on. I mean, he had the, you know, obviously the game touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was playing really good ball, which is the first time in his career he started to put it together. So it has been, as Jerry Jeudy has caught on and started to thrive and we feel good about him, Cedric was another piece of that. So very interested to see what they do with a complimentary piece to those guys next year. But Jerome Ford, I think, will miss the game. They signed back John Kelly from who had been with you guys there in Baltimore, had been in Cleveland. Cleveland has this love for bringing their guys back into the fold, man. They keep they have like a spreadsheet of guys that have been around and can come in. So Kelly goes back, and it'll probably be John Kelly and Deontay Foreman at running back this week, and a wide receiver. It'll be Jerry Jeudy and Elijah Moore still around, and then a young man named Mike Woods, who's a late round pick a few years ago. He'll play a lot. But yeah, Jordan Akins will play at tight end. The offensive line's been relatively healthy, so they'll be fine. The front four, Conklin, Teller, Betonio, Posick, and then they played Jermaine Effetti at left tackle most of the year. He's been, as you would expect, pretty uneven. So the offensive line will be fine, but not much of it matters, Ken, when they're playing the way stylistically they are with these quarterbacks, that's the Browns' biggest issue, is they have gotten such poor, poor quarterback play this year.
Yeah. Now, if you're a season ticket holder, where do you fit? And maybe you may well be, Jake. I really don't know if you go to the games every week or not. But how do you get them to buy into roller coaster football as opposed to? And the Browns haven't been too bad about it. They've really tried to keep winning through the last Watson years and whatnot. But they have certainly had times of tanking, of hard tanking in the past. You know, during the 1-31 era or the current one. How do you sell that to your fan base?
That's the key question, Ken, is you go through 16 and 17 where they went 1-31 and they gathered and brought in as much asset collection as they could. And then they cashed it in, Miles, Denzel Ward, Baker, Nick, and it resulted in one playoff win in 2020. The Baker thing fell apart. The two sides needed to split. I don't think it meant you had to go get Deshaun Watson, but the sides decided to split and you've run it out. Watson has been a nothing return, and that has been hard for people. Not only the player Watson, but the person Watson and all that comes with that, and getting that type of contract that has put you in a hindered state of the cap and has really hurt your draft scenario. And to just like, you could stomach it, Ken, if you're like, well, we got two elite years out of him and then his body fell apart. He got injured. He hurt the shoulder. He tore the Achilles. you can justify that, right? You can't do it here. He's been a nothing burger for every moment he's been a Brown. And that is just really hard to say. We sat through two miserable asset collection seasons, and we're supposed to be in the thriving part of this phase. Grant Delpit's older. JOK is older. All these guys are older, and they're matured, and they've gotten some realization of good players. But we're not winning games because we have never solved quarterback the way that we need to solve quarterback. And that is why I would say that the vibe around the franchise is as low as it's been in a long time, because they're tired of the quarterback that's here. They're tired of the sunk cost fallacy happening right in front of their face and being lied to about the player deserving to be on the field. And they just have not been able to solve. Like, again, it's how deep in the weeds you want to get here, but Kevin came in with a real identity as a play caller and a soul for this offense. Wide zone, you know, marrying the run pass beautifully, heavy lean into the Kubiak style, big personnel to dictate defensive personnel. And they went away from it when Watson got here, and they thought they can marry more of what Watson likes to do with that stuff. And they just failed, Ken. They failed at it. It uprooted the entire offensive staff this offseason to try to accommodate, and that's been a disaster. And they're really just toiling in a circle right now. And like I said, they're fortunate they have their own pick for the first time in a while, because that gives you some sliver of hope. But I'm just being completely transparent when I say people are really worn down with it right now. The fan base is worn down with it, and they're struggling with the belief that they can solve this given their recent decisions. And then lingering above all of this, Ken, is they want to build a new stadium in 3 years, and they want to use a lot of public funds, and they want to move them outside of the city of Cleveland to a place called Brook Park, about 13 miles outside of the city. And it's beautiful and it looks great, but there's just a lot of emotion tied to when the team left downtown the first time. And it's hard. It's hard. And like, you need the vibe around your team to be really good to make this stomachable from every angle. And they're just not handling it well. So I don't know that there's any wholesale changes coming. I don't know that they're going to let go of the head coach and GM, but I know that it's possible. And if you would have asked me if that was possible before the season when both signed extensions, I just would have thought no way. But, you know, Ken, when they're 3-14, and I mean, based on EPA, a top 10 worst EPA offense since the year 2000, sometimes heads roll for that sort of stuff. So it's all on the table. Would I say that those things, I think they get one more year. But with that one more year element comes the idea that they're making a very big decision with that pick this year. And it just doesn't often work out well when it's a Hail Mary decision to save a regime with a pick this important. So I am not as optimistic as I would like to be. But if it was a slam dunk answer and there was an Andrew Luck or a great player, just you can't mess it up. It's the guys right there. You know what I mean? That's different, but that's not the case here. There's going to be real evaluation and real risk and whoever they select at this spot or who they don't select. Because imagine you don't take Cam Ward and he gets drafted by the Raiders and he thrives. You know what I mean? That's it.
It'd be tough. Okay. So one of the big timing elements here is the new stadium arriving. And I guess I would be probably a little bit less concerned about the physical location of the stadium being a little bit outside town, but I understand that the Japan has the population can't eat irradiated food, or they couldn't for a lot of years anyway because of the public fear of radiation. So I understand now the need that Cleveland would want to keep their ballpark in their own city. But there's another big element coming up, and that is they're probably going to ask their current season ticket holder base for an enormous pony up in terms of personal seat licenses. And yeah, coming out of a bad season, that is a very tough ask, and it could make the difference of...
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars when they start the stadium. I think it was about $75 million in 1996 when the Ravens originally got it. And they didn't collect the season licenses right away, but they'd sold a bunch of club seats, including people like me, before they'd been available. And then they when they actually asked us for the money, it was, I think, 97. And they it was a lot. It was a lot at the time. And then it became more in the Ravens case. But I'm wondering, you know, have they broached the price of that or what they're looking for?
They have put out some information on it, Ken. You know, how concrete that is. There's also, again, I don't know how much your fan base cares, but it ironically is the fan base that would care. When the Browns left to go to you guys in Baltimore the first time, they put in place the Modell Law, which is a law because, I again, this is tricky. Like when the Browns left, as you know very well, they were going to be the Baltimore Browns. They were taking the team to Baltimore. But then the city stepped in. Fans formed unions of what are called now Browns backers, and they got after the NFL, and the city sued. They put pressure on the city. The city sued, and they were able to keep – Art Modell was like, I'm not fighting it. They can keep the Browns name.
Right.
We'll change it. The Browns fan base is – like this is the one place it's really hard to leave downtown because this place fought to keep everything here and they really have one of the best global backer groups out there. And it is very tricky with this. And they enacted a law that says you cannot leave Cleveland under these very specific circumstances without the correct amount of time, et cetera, et cetera. And the city right now is fighting them on leaving downtown, pointing to this Modell law, and it's not the most well-written law. Like the Browns are pushing back in court about it. Ultimately, Ken, I think they get their way. They're going to be able to move to Brook Park because they're not changing the name and they're not going very far and all of that stuff. And listen, they're building a beautiful thing here. This is not, they're not just taking an outdoor stadium and dropping a generic stadium and outside of the city because they can get better parking. Like, no, they're building it's a hub and a bunch of surrounding things. It's going to be beautiful. But the problem is the city leans on the Browns and they have leaned on them for 25 years again. And they did everything they could as a city to keep them back then. And it's a very touchy subject. And so they're not as far along in the process to like truly give you perfect numbers of what it'll be, but it's going to be expensive, Ken. Like every part of it is going to be pricey.
Gotcha. Okay. In terms of the municipality for tax purposes, this is very tricky in Baltimore because Baltimore City is not part of any county. So Baltimore County is a like a first baseman's mitt that wraps itself around Baltimore City. In terms of Cleveland, is it the same tax entity that would be in Brook Park or in Cleveland?
You know, I don't want to answer that because I don't think I'd be right. But I do think you are correct about that. I think my hunch is that you're correct that it would be the same. Okay. But I don't want to say that with certainty because I'm not totally for sure.
Okay. So it could be like a lot of cities are in a larger county and you don't, if you move slightly outside the suburbs, it doesn't screw up the tax thing. But
I think Brook Park would still be inside Cuyahoga County. So I'm very interested to know that. But like what is important here is to your point, the perception of all of this. They're taking state dollars, they're taking local dollars, and they're combining it with the Haslam's money. And that is very touchy when your team is the way they are and they have made the recent decisions that they've made. And I do know that, like, you know, like I said, when the mayor's Justin Bibb, when he enacted this Modell law, I mean, part of that law is that the city of Cleveland will actively look for new ownership. And like, that's where it's like now publicly the city has turned ugly. The Haslams were very into doing that. And I'm not here like giving the Haslams a bump in their ego, but like they had tried to publicly do the things they could. Like there's a local airport right in and kind of just down the road from the stadium that they were trying to maybe feasibility of putting a dome at that site. There's a lot of reasons why it couldn't work in that regard. And they tried it. They explored it. They looked at it. The pricing was about double the cost of what Brook Park would have been. So they couldn't do that. And I know that the Haslams have offered to pay for the destruction and cleanup of the stadium in a funded project to, boost up the lakefront, to do things for the lakefront there on Lake Erie to make it a nice place that people can still use. But as the city gets uglier about the Modell Law, this seems like maybe the Haslams pull back on some of that stuff. It's like $60 million to tear down and clean up the stadium. You know,
wow.
You're destroying it. So yeah, they're willing to publicly have gone out about covering all of this. And I haven't paid the closest attention to all of that because the team takes so much of my attention anyway. But it feels like the route this goes, Ken, is the Browns get what the Haslams get what they want. They're going to build it in Brook Park. And it's a matter of whether, you know, how committed Cleveland is to helping that or hindering that, and ultimately how much to help they get as a city to make that work. But yeah, I think if you're asking me where does this ultimately end up, it ends up with a dome in Brook Park. These billionaires get their way.
Okay. I would estimate the total amount of PSL revenue would be between $125 and $250 million. So they would be including, that would include both club, which is, you know, going to be a high percentage of that total. And then your other seats at approximately, I'd say 2,500 per seat would be what I guess initially for a team like the Browns. Does that sound about right from what they've told you?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's a $2.4 billion project is what I've gathered on the totality of the dome and the surrounding structures. And I know that the Browns are paying, the Haslams are paying to build up the surrounding hotel district and shopping mall and all the things they want to do around it to make it a real hub for people to come in. And it's right next to Hopkins Airport, which is the main Cleveland airport. So it's all it'll be very nice. It's just, it's going to be different, Ken. It's going to be a dome stadium in the AFC North. That's different. It's just different than we've ever seen. And, you know, it is what it is about the Browns and their history. It all uprooted there in 95 and it all changed because they really had a great 1980s. And we know what they were in the 50s and 60s and the 80s and early 90s were pretty strong for them. And it's all changed since they've come back. And there's a long story about how the NFL didn't do right by them when they came back compared to what they did for the Panthers and the Jaguars, largely because those teams found such quick success. The NFL did not like that. And there's a long story here about how they did things differently for the Browns, and it's put them, but they're so far removed from it, Ken, that it doesn't, they've just been there's so much ineptitude now for so long. But to the point of this, this is the birthplace of football. It's Canton, Ohio area. It's Northeast Ohio. And that has meaning. And for some people, taking this stuff indoors and changing the way the game is played, although it's not foreign. I mean, just up in Detroit, they play in a dome. And in Indy, they play in a dome. It's not crazy, but it is a different thing for Northeast Ohio. And with that, you get people with the nostalgia preferences and stuff like that, Ken. So it's been tricky. But again, I just ultimately think, man, get comfortable with the idea of a dome because I think it's going to happen.
Okay. I mean, if frankly, Lamar Jackson being a South Florida guy, I'm fine with there being another dome in the AFC. I was surprised that Buffalo went the non-dome route, given how extreme the weather is there. Yeah. Now, I mean, you can get fairly extreme wind in Cleveland. You get fairly extreme cold in Cleveland, as you well know. But there's nothing like Buffalo in terms of the wind and the impact on the game. No doubt.
I mean, the Browns don't. I mean, they just played a game this weekend, Ken, against Miami that was 55 degrees. Like they get some cold, windy games and all of that, but it's not. I don't know. I think it's a little overblown. And I think you would agree with me because over the course of 30 years, this stuff is like winter hits like in January, February, March now. It's just different than it used to be. So, you know, listen, will I complain about a dome? I won't. I think, and you would agree with me, I'm sure maybe you visited some of the newer modern domes. They're really loud and they have a really cool plan for making this place really, really loud and unique to Cleveland's dome, like the dog pound and a very unique, like, straight up side, like it's going to be a very vertical stands, one chunk of stands, very vertical, which carries sound very well. It'll be cool. I mean, it'll be very Minnesota like where it's glass based. It's the same group that did the Vikings stadium that is going to do this one. And it'll feel outdoors. It'll feel a lot of sunshine will be coming in and all of that. But I'm interested in it because listen, Ken, if I'm going to watch mediocre football, I might as well watch it in climate-controlled, beautiful stadium. That's my theory on this.
Well, let me tell you, the two stadiums that have the big glass look to them are Indianapolis and Minnesota. We've been to all the stadiums. Mm-hmm. And those two places give me incredible photosensitive nausea when I'm in there. So you have sun coming through glass. I don't know. A lot of the listeners, I'm sure, understand exactly what I'm talking about. Can make people sick.
And it can. Yeah, it's very different.
It's a really uncomfortable kind of heat. It's all I can describe it. I've got moist warmth kind of thing going on. So I think there will be a lot of people who are immediately crying about how this place is relative to being outdoors and how they like the wind in their face pretty quickly, because there's certainly a portion of the population, maybe 2% and maybe 5%, who feel like me about sun coming through glass and just can't stand it.
No, I can't say that I've been to Lucas Oil several times. Ohio State plays over there earlier. Mm-hmm. Haven't been there in a couple of years, but I've went to a couple of their Big Ten championships over there. But those are night games. I really enjoyed it. But you're right. I haven't been to one of those in Minnesota during the day to really experience that. So that's an interesting take.
Okay. All right. Well, let's flip over to the offense a little bit. Talk a little bit about Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I mean, is he a 0% chance to move on, or is there still a chance he can develop here? It seems like awfully early to give up on this guy who I kind of like come out of the draft.
I think, Ken, the ship has sailed. Dorian is a nice young man. I think he's good to have around, but too inaccurate on simple throws, processing downfield multi-layers of coverage. He does not do that very well. And he is a plus athlete, but he doesn't produce that result in the puck. He can run, he can be a plus one, but he cannot produce it in situations where he should be leaning into that athleticism, pocket maneuverability, sensing out pressure, things of those nature. He just doesn't do very well with it. So when you get a mixture of inaccuracy on things that NFL quarterbacks should not have inaccuracy on, swings, bubbles, slants, those shallow portions of the field, with a quarterback who can't process things on downfield concepts, multi-layered side-to-side reads, it's really tough to see a future with him. So has he been given a fair shake in 2 years? No, I don't think so. We had a really abrupt start against Baltimore last year, where he started, where Watson spontaneously was unable to go with the shoulder, and then he started a couple games when Watson went out again, Pittsburgh at home and out in Denver. But he's fragile. He takes hits. He gets hurt. He lost the end of last season to a hip injury. He is like a 1-for-10 ratio. But the problem is, Ken, there's only been two quarterbacks in any given season in the history of the league with under 4.7 yards per attempt in 100 attempts in a season.
Wow.
He has both of them. So he's unwilling to push the ball downfield with any meaningful accuracy processing. He has one touchdown to 10 interceptions in his career. And the data is the data. It's just hard to envision it working out for him.
Okay, fair enough. And Bailey Zappe, is he a long-term backup quarterback hope maybe? Or is he a guy that also is just filler?
Could be. It's a matter of what they like behind closed doors. I mean, Bailey's been around New England for a while there. And, it's hard to envision that. We'll see. I mean, he might play a little this Sunday, but it's a matter of if they feel like whatever route they go. I think you and I would agree they're probably going to bring in a couple quarterbacks this offseason. So it's hard to envision that, really. Right. But they could love him behind closed doors and really see a pathway there. But I don't get that vibe from anything I've gathered so far.
He should be getting a chance right away if they thought there was a chance and that they didn't think it would ruin up their draft pick hopes. Let's flip over the defense then. I'm not sure we went through all the injuries, because I saw Denzel Ward leave the game against Miami. Is he going to play this week? Or
I would prefer he doesn't, Ken. I mean, he's had a stellar season. I think he's an all-pro this year. He leads the league in pass breakups, and he really makes the engine go on the back half. But I don't think he should play. He's dealt with a little bit of a shoulder thing recently, and the concussion stuff for him has been too volatile for me to just put him out there in another meaningless game. So I don't think he should play. Will he play? I don't know. If he doesn't play, they've lost Greg Newsome for the year. So you're talking about some guys like Cam Mitchell, who they took out of Northwestern a couple years ago, will be out there. Martin Emerson is still playing, so he'll play. A young man named Miles Harden, who they took in the draft this year, will probably get a little bit of run, a small school kid. He'll play. And then Mike Ford, who is a special teamer, has been forced to play too. So it is a depleted cornerback group, especially if Denzel does not play. The safety group is still fine. Juan Thornhill's playing, and Rodney McLeod's still out there and doing a nice job. And then Ronnie Hickman, the UDFA they signed out of Ohio State last year, who was really good as a rookie, has had a nice second season. He'll get some run too. And Grant Delpit is still playing, and Delpit's been good.
Okay, so that's four safeties, which is a lot more than the Ravens have. But I thought Hickman also got injured in the Miami game. Was that right? Or
I haven't gathered he's going to miss this one. He could, but yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have a great answer on that one yet. I do think he left dinged up, but I haven't gathered whether he's going to be out of this one or not.
Okay, how about we talk about what you're looking for out of the Browns? What kind of positive signs would you like in this finale? Pick a couple players you'd like to say, well, I'd like to see him do X, or I'd like to see him do Y.
Right. Good stuff. So I this is, again, back to the paradox of win, but play well, right? Or lose, but play well. What has been encouraging is this young defensive line group. So they traded away Za'Darius Smith to the Lions midseason, and they had a young man who they drafted out of Missouri named Isaiah McGuire, who stepped into that starting role opposite Miles, who's number 57, been a nice player for them, really good run defense, has started to add to his pass game maneuverability and repertoire in that world. So he's been good, and I'm really honed into this defensive line because they got a decision to make in this draft. If they don't go quarterback, there's some guys like Mason Graham out of Michigan and Abdul Carter, the edge out of Penn State, that are going to be at the top of the draft. Who it's like, do they need to go that route? A couple defensive tackles, the guy they took in the early second round last year, their top pick, Mike Hall Jr., has had a nice close to the season. He was suspended to start the year and then dealt with an injury that put him on a short-term IR situation. So he is playing more at the end of the year and has been really good. Like, I think he's going to be a very good defensive tackle in the NFL, a very abrupt pass rusher with sudden moves, and has done better against the run with a lot of physicality and violence than I expected. So he's been fun. And then another young man, Juwan Briggs, who they took in the seventh round out of Cincinnati, a really strong football player who, like top two bench press number in the defensive tackle group, has been really, I mean, Ken, as far as run game defense, has been their best defensive tackle against the run the last 3 weeks, was dominant against Miami with some really good teach tape stuff that he's put on play. So I am fascinated with him. He has had a great run to the end of the year for them after not playing much or being active at the beginning of the year. So he's getting a chance. So it's like watching this defensive line. We'll see if Miles plays much. He got his 14th sack last week. There's not much upside. He could get 5 sacks. He's not going to win defensive player of the year. It's a record-based award. He might play, but Miles shouldn't play very much, because the thing you don't want, the biggest loss for the Browns in this game is losing anybody for the, start of the 25 season. So I imagine they'll be pretty careful with it, but the bright spot has been the defense. The defense has kept them in games. I mean, these games, Bengals was close late into the second half. This last one with Miami, the Browns were in the red zone down 13-3 with like 7-8 minutes left. They've been in them. But, the offense is so bad, it's not a concern. So I think the line at 18 or whatever it's hovering at is probably a little too high, but it may not be, because it could literally be a 20-3 type of game, 20-0 type of game that the Baltimore is. The defense is playing well. So I think the good part is if the Ravens are trying to stay sharp, win the division, go into the next, they're going to get the Browns defense is going to challenge them. They're going to be, listen, any week they could quit, Ken. It's week 18 and they're 3-13. They could quit and just play an awful game. But the evidence has been that they've played hard and kept them in ball games recently. So I expect that to keep up.
The defense has stayed together. Is there any indication, are there any veteran problems on the team now that you might all of a sudden, they might just decide to go to the clubhouse early? Like they don't even see themselves as part of the team next year. Or they're even trying to facilitate their own release, like Deontay Johnson did, I think, with the Ravens, if you could do that in a good situation, you could definitely do it in a bad situation, my feeling about it.
They don't have any of that, Ken, which is good. Given the climate of 3-13, you can have some of that stuff, because they are very veteran heavy. I mean, talk about Dalvin Tomlinson and, Shelby Harris recently went on IR, but they've got a lot of those veteran types who are on 1 years that could happen, but they haven't had any of that. I don't think anything has crept in. Now, this could be a different situation because it's the last game of the year and they got some guys who they want to bring back who are of the veteran mold, a la like a Jordan Hicks at the linebacker position, who's had a really good year for them. There's some of those, but nah, there hasn't been any vibe of that, that type of toxicity going on. The defense has stayed pretty close knit, and I think the offense can is toiling their thumbs knowing that they just don't have a guy to take the snap right now. So, that's it. I have been sort of pleasantly surprised that they have not had a Devondre Campbell quit mid game type of thing happen to them this year in that regard. So that has been encouraging, and they have done a decent job turning Amari Cooper into a third round pick and moving Zadarius for a pick. Like, they've taken some of those guys and done right by them, but also simultaneously got something back for them. And ironically enough, like Cedric Tillman playing more and Jerry Jeudy getting more targets and Isaiah McGuire getting it, it's helped them develop some of these young guys too. So that's, we're searching for silver linings over here, man. So those are what we're clinging to.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, why don't we leave it at that? I really appreciate you coming on doing the show, Jake. I know it's not always the easiest of times, and great to hear your, got a fitness thing going on have your, I've had what appears to be a very good Christmas there. Tell folks where they can find your work online.
Yeah, man, we are BrownsFilmBreakdown.com. That's it. Podcast every day, and a lot of film content similar to what you do too, Ken. A lot of analysis and all of that. So yeah, if you are interested, you can find us on all the platforms that are podcast heavy these days. And the website is quite simply the same URL, BrownsFilmBreakdown.com. So yeah, thanks for having me. You know, I always love our talks, man.
Highly recommend Jake as a follow on Twitter. He's at Jake_Burns18. Make sure you follow him there. He has some great discussion back and forth, even in a tough year like this. But other folks out there, thanks for listening. If you want to do something nice for the show, show it to a friend, in particular, playing it off their browser directly. I always say for an older person that you know who might like Ravens football, write us a 5-star, 50-word review on your favorite podcast platform. Like and subscribe if you're listening on YouTube or if you're just listening to the podcast itself. Jake, thanks again for coming on. And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.